Welcome to all. Glad to have you joining in. This is Bill Allen, and we are continuing on a year-long reading through the Bible and studying through it in our Facebook Bible studies. We do this every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon at 3 p.m. live here from downtown, a very wet, by the way, downtown Tyler, Texas. And hopefully you're able to catch it live, or you're able to catch it on my Facebook page or on our West Irwin Live or West Irwin Church of Christ Facebook pages, which are posted to immediately after our Bible study is over, somewhere around 3:30-ish, depending on how long-winded the preacher is. And also it will be posted later on our website, westirwin.com, on our live streaming page there under our Connect tab. So glad to have you joining along. Looks like my friends Cindy and Eric Mosley are joining in. That's a great thing. Always good to see you guys and see your name there. Always wonderful to have a good group of folks that watch these, either live or later. And it's been a very interesting study of late because the last few lessons have been from the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, as I have said, is like talking to your grandfather. It's just that common sense kind of wisdom that your grandpa might talk to you about while you're sitting on the porch or in the living room in the rocking chair and just chatting and shooting the breeze about every kind of subject. Most grandpas are pretty good about having an opinion about just about everything. And so that's kind of the way Proverbs is. It's got an opinion about everything, but the opinions are, of course, inspired scripture. That's the big difference. But also they're very, very practical, very concrete, very earthy, just typical everyday kinds of things that everybody experiences, and yet it gives them from the perspective of wisdom and what is wise. The book of Proverbs is what we call a part of the wisdom literature in Scripture, such as the book of Job, the book of Psalms that we recently saw and studied through. And a couple of books that we'll look at on Thursday, Song of Solomon or Song of Songs and Ecclesiastes, which is a great, great study. But the book of Proverbs, it shares little short, pithy statements that are very common sense, very almost it seems like they pretty much go without saying. But yet it is something also that reminds us of the best way to live. For example, and we're starting our study today, and we'll finish up Proverbs today on the May 22nd reading, and it's Proverbs 1, verse 10. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. Well, okay, not a whole lot of revelation there, right? That sounds like the right thing, but we all know that just because we are enticed by sin or by sinful people, that doesn't mean that we're going to recognize it and run away from it and not follow it. And so that's what the wise man and the book of Proverbs are there to share, is some things that we maybe should know just because of being mature or being adult or being spiritual people that are concerned about the will of God. But it always contrasts it with the wise versus the fool. And the wise person is the one who heeds instruction, and specifically heeds instruction from the Word of God, and is one who reverences God and has put God first in all of the things that we say and do. And the book of Proverbs talks a lot about our speech, and as we'll see today, and it talks a lot about what we do, our actions. And so we're going to just keep on going through this. We won't spend much time looking at each of them because we've got a lot to cover. And there's so much in the book of Proverbs. And as I've said, I believe that the book of James is the New Testament Proverbs. And there's a lot of correlation between Proverbs and James, the book of James and the New Testament. We'll get through the book of Proverbs today. Continuing on in chapter 1, a little bit later on, these men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves, talking about the foolish. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. A great statement about that, you know, if it sounds like a get-rich-quick scheme, it may not be good and it may not be true. And scripture says that if you go after ill-gotten gain, not all get-rich-quick schemes are would be considered ill-gotten or evil and wrong, but some are. And the ones that are, you hurt only yourself. Proverbs 3, verse 31, do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways, for the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. We should be upright. We should be looking to follow God's will. We should not be violent, and we should not desire the ways of the violent. Continuing on in chapter 3, a little further down, do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse anyone for no reason when they have done you no harm. Great advice. Chapter 20, verse 22, do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord, and he will avenge you. There are several verses in Proverbs that speak about taking vengeance, and we remember that Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 12 and in other places says, leave that vengeance to God. Turn loose of that and give it to God. Not all the verses in Proverbs, as we have seen, in fact, most of them are one verse statements, one or two verse statements, but every once in a while you'll find a pack of them together, and that's what we find in chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, and these are very important little statements, quick hitters that are in this same context, in this same passage, and as I read these, you'll shake your head thinking, wow, how is it that this was written almost 3,000 years ago, and yet it sounds like it was written by someone just this morning. That's how relevant this is. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Now, that's the wisdom literature. That's a bit of poetic language. It's just saying these are some things the Lord hates. There are six things the Lord hates, Proverbs 6, verse 16, 7, that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Boy, you read through that list and you think, oh my goodness, do we need that in our society today? In 21st century America, we need every single one of those. And so we are right in studying this great book of Proverbs from the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, not perfect by any means. And unfortunately, he didn't always follow his own advice. But God gave him a special measure of wisdom, as we have seen. I like this verse, Proverbs 26, verse 17. Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel, not their own. Be slow to jump into that. I remember the wonderful Dr. Charlie Seibert from Abilene Christian University talking about de-triangling, trying not to get into that triangle where you have two people that are at odds with each other. Let them be a solid line and work it out. But when you jump in there, then all of a sudden it becomes a triangle, and both of those sides are coming after you. Not a bad thing to talk about, de-triangling. I think that's a Edwin Friedman concept, but I got it via the wonderful Charles Seibert. Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19, like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only joking. Again, what a great, great statement. That's Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19. And it's especially not just your neighbor, but your spouse or your children or your siblings or a coworker. Don't go that way where you make fun of them and poke at them and say harmful things and then say, oh, I know, I was only joking. I was only kidding. No. Don't do it that way. Say things that build up and encourage. The Lord detests dishonest scales, Proverbs 11, verse 1, but accurate weights find favor with him. Be honest. Be honest in your business dealings. Chapter 15, verse 27, the greedy bring ruin to their households, but the one who hates bribes will live. Again, 21st century American culture, we sure need that, don't we? The greedy bring ruin to their households, but the one who hates bribes will live. Great, great statement. Chapter 12, verse 17, an honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. Well, you say, okay, yeah, I get that. Okay, well, the wise man is reminding us, which do you want to be, honest or false? Chapter 25, verse 18, like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is one who gives false testimony against a neighbor. Tell the truth, one of the Ten Commandments. God calls us to be truthful in how we deal with people and to not be a false witness. Chapter 18, verse 17, in a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. And of course, we see that played out all the time in the political world and all the time as well in our television world and movies, looking into the dramas. We like the dramas, the courtroom dramas. I love a good John Grisham book. But this verse actually reminds me of a Gilligan's Island episode. I know, sorry, this really speaks to my high theology, but there was an episode of Gilligan's Island where somebody would speak and Gilligan would respond. Like Marianne would speak and Gilligan would say, well, that's a good point, Marianne. And then the professor would say something, well, that's a good point too, professor. And then Ginger would come along and finally the skipper said, Gilligan, everybody can't have a good point. And Gilligan says, you know what, skipper? You got a good point there. Love it. Proverbs 18, verse 17 again. In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. What's that saying? Well, I think it's saying you might want to hear everybody out first before you start jumping to conclusions. Something like that. Proverbs 17, verse 15. Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. Oh boy, don't we wish our judicial system and our own personal lives as well would find the application here for us today. Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. Proverbs 17, verse 15. Chapter 21, verse 15. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. And that's right. You know, we say with liberty and justice for all, right? But sometimes that doesn't happen. But when it does, when justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers as well. Both of those should be true. Proverbs 24, verses 23 through 25. These also are sayings of the wise. These are a few together. To show partiality in judging is not good. Whoever says to the guilty, you are innocent, will be cursed by peoples and denounced by nations. But it will go well with those who convict the guilty, and rich blessing will come on them. That's what we need in our governments today. Chapter 29, verse 26, many seek an audience with the ruler, but it is from the Lord that one gets justice. And that's where we get our ultimate justice and vindication is from the Lord. If we're looking for it in this world and in this life, we might be disappointed, because not everybody follows the advice of the scriptures we just read. Proverbs 15, verse 16, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. My truer words were never spoken. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Chapter 15, verse 16, better to be faithful with a little than unfaithful and in trouble with a lot. Chapter 22, verse 2, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Whether you're rich or poor, created by the same God in his image. And we should never forget that. Let's see. Okay, we're skipping down to chapter 19, verse 17. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. We've seen something similar to that in chapter 14, verse 31. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. But whoever is kind to the needy honors God. That's how we honor God, is by being concerned and conscious of his creation and being kind to our neighbor. Chapter 16, verse 8, better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. You can hear that over and over again in Proverbs. Chapter 22, verse 22, do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case. and will exact life for life. Remember, Jesus said, "One of the least of these, my brethren, if you did help them, you were helping me. If you turned your back on them, you were turning your back on me." And as the wise man says here, the Lord will take up their case. God will make things right. Chapter 29, verse 13, the poor and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives sight to the eyes of both. Again, we're all created in God's image. That's one thing we have in common, but this gives us another thing. God gives the blessings of sight to the rich and the poor, to the poor and the oppressor, both. There's a lot about being a hard worker in Proverbs, and there's a fun little word in Proverbs that's the opposite of the hard worker, and that's the sluggard, S-L-U-G-G-A-R-D. It's pretty graphic description of somebody who is lazy and who doesn't work hard and try to help themselves. And there's a lot in Proverbs about that. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant, A-N-T. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Look how industrious the ants are. And boy, I tell you, they are. They're hard workers and they build that shelter. It's kind of amazing to watch. Proverbs 6 continues in verse 9. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, scarcity like an armed man. Sometimes it's okay to take a nap. Sometimes it's okay to go to bed early or sleep in a little bit. But if that's the way you're living every single day, then you ought to be concerned about that. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, scarcity like an armed man. Be willing to work hard. Be willing to sacrifice now. It's that delayed gratification thing. Giving up that time of rest and relaxation now when you should be doing something so that later on when you're done, then you can rest and relax a bit. Very good and important advice. Let's see, that's something that is stated several times throughout the book of Proverbs. Now we're at May 24th reading, and now we're talking about parents and children, and we've talked a little bit about that already. But Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. We know that not every parent gives good advice and gives good counsel. Not every parent is kind or loving. Some are horribly abusive even, and that's wrong. And that's when we look to our Heavenly Father for that, and we look to trusted individuals, perhaps in our family, perhaps in the church, to help. But generally speaking, if you listen to your parents' instructions, your life is going to be better. Chapter 17, verse 6, children's children, grandchildren, are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. What a great, great statement. Where you have the parents being proud of their children, the children being proud of their parents, the grandparents and grandchildren getting along and respecting each other, that's the way it's supposed to be. Proverbs 23, verse 23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. We think of the parables that Jesus told about the treasure in the field, or the pearl of great price, the man that went and sold everything he had to get that, to buy that field with the treasure, or to buy that great valuable jewel. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. Chapter 16, verse 31, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. Chapter 20, verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength, gray hair, the splendor of the old. Well, gray hair or no hair, but you get the picture, right? With age comes wisdom. With age comes a deeper commitment to righteousness, greater appreciation of life. That's what the writer of Proverbs is acknowledging. Chapter 18, verse 22, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. And don't hear that as a sexist statement. We understand that if anyone finds a husband or a wife, They have found something that is good. It's God's ideal and vision for a good, strong marriage between a husband and a wife. And that's a blessing from the Lord. Chapter 16, verse 12, kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. Proverbs has much to say to rulers, and that's one thing, that they are to be righteous and just in their dealings with others, and detest wrongdoing. Oh, how we need that today. Chapter 20, verse 28, love and faithfulness keep a king safe. Through love, his throne is made secure. Not through power, not through a might, although there is a place for that, obviously, in civil rulers and civil authorities. But ultimately, it comes down to integrity and love and faithfulness. Fear the Lord and the king, my son, the wise man in Proverbs says, and do not join with the rebellious. That's the way to live. That's the way to live. That's the smart way, the wise way to live. Chapter 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Love that statement. You've probably heard that verse before. Again, Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. You have a brother or a sister or a close friend that is there when times are tough, the good times and the bad. That's a true friend. That's a true brother, a true sister. Chapter 18, verse 24, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I think we all recognize that. Family members are important, and family is wonderful, wonderful thing. I love my family. And I know that this statement is true. Sometimes family is separated by distance, sometimes by other things, and sometimes you have to reach for a close friend rather than a faraway family member. It's important to have both and to be able to have both, and I think that's the greatest blessing of all. But the wise man acknowledges that. Looking ahead to chapter 27, these words, do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. The wise man knew this, that sometimes you have to reach to someone who is physically closer simply because of the need. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. We don't think that, do we? We'll take the silver and gold, but actually that can't buy a good reputation. That can't buy a good name. Proverbs 3, verse 25, have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. Chapter 14, verse 32, a similar thought. When calamity comes, the wicked are brought down, but even in death, the righteous seek refuge in God. The old song, and we sang it Sunday, trust and obey. Trust in the Lord and obey. Be obedient to Him. The Lord will be at your side. And we don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid. Yes, some of the threats are real, and we need to act accordingly. And that fear is an emotion, and sometimes we can't help ourselves. But ultimately, our faith says God will take care of me. Whatever happens, I think of those three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, contemporaries of Daniel in the Old Testament. When they were threatened by the Babylonian king to worship this image or be thrown into the fiery, fiery furnace. And they said, our God is able to save us, but even if He doesn't, we're not gonna worship something that's not God. And of course, God saved them that day. And God will save you, my friend, whether it's in that time or in a later time or even in eternity. The Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. Proverbs 13, verse 12, such a sad statement. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Oh, what a great statement. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Don't defer that hope. Share it. Give it. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Do not let your heart envy sinners, Proverbs 23 says, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. even if we're having a hard time seeing it. We know that that's the truth. Well, we're getting close to the end. Proverbs 17, verse 22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. For sure. Sometimes you need a good prescription as well, and I'm one who believes in medication. Joyce is alive today because of the wonderful blessing of insulin for a diabetic who has been diabetic since 1979. But we also understand a cheerful heart is good medicine, and a crushed spirit dries up the bones, for sure, for sure. Chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. This is such a powerful statement. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. That's important. And then give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Jesus himself taught us to pray when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And the wise man in Proverbs says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Why? Because there's temptations for both, not just for the wealthy, but for both the poor and the rich. And he says, if I'm poor, I may be tempted to steal, and that's wrong. And if I'm rich, then I may forget that I am reliant upon the Lord, and put myself on the throne of my heart. Horrible, horrible thing. Those are great statements found in Proverbs 30. Now we get to Proverbs 31, and this is the wife of noble character, the wife of virtuous character, the virtuous wife. She's been called a lot of things, and she's a great example of a godly woman. It's something that we read around Mother's Day a lot of times. At other times, when we are describing a wonderful godly woman who has passed from this life to the next. These are great statements in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And I would say a hearty amen to all of that. That's in Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. One of my favorite book titles is this, The Proverbs 31 Lady and Other Impossible Dreams. And granted, some have read this description and these words and say, oh, I'll never measure up to that, and have harmed themselves actually trying to be everything that this passage says. And I think it's a good goal for men or women to read through this and to say, this is the kind of life and the kind of values that I want to have, that I want my spouse to have, that I want to instill in my children. And that's really what the book of Proverbs has been about. And yes, we have come to the end of the book of Proverbs. On Thursday, we're going to look at a short book, the Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, which if written today or put into a movie today would be at least PG-13. And then we'll turn to what the wise man says about how not to live and how to live in Ecclesiastes, a very difficult book that is known for its throwing up its hands and saying everything is vain, nothing really matters. And that's a great, great study, Ecclesiastes. I look forward to sharing that with you on Thursday. I'm so thankful that we have been able to read through the book of Proverbs, and I hope and pray that you will continue to live according to the wise man and the wise statements in the Word of God in Proverbs that tell us that we are to put God first, to fear the Lord, to reverence the Lord, and to respect the Lord, to respect one another, to love our neighbor as ourselves, as Jesus would put it, quoting from the Old Testament law in Leviticus. We are to put God first and put others second. Do you remember that song, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this must surely mean Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Well, I'll leave you with that today, and I look forward to seeing you on Thursday. God bless.